Proverbs 4:1, hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Pause for a second. Message Day, of course, being Father's Day, and feel this time the Lord would have me to address these matters of fathers and kids. So I just titled the message today, Dads and Kids. We've all been through childhood. No way to get to be an adult without being a kid, right? Most of us have had fathers in our lives, at least at one time. Fathers are given to us to instruct us. They're there, they work, of course, they provide food, clothes, place to live, but being a father is more than just providing food, clothes, and a place to live. Fathers want to instruct their children. We talk about raising our kids. That involves teaching. The flip side of that, kids are not so immediately aware of the fact that their fathers are there to teach them. They just think life is a big game, you know, and the more you can play, the better. And, you know, I wish Dad would be quiet and leave me alone and quit trying to talk so much or whatever. But here's instruction to children. Listen to the instruction of your father. And again, here's why. Because there's a principle in life. You learn as you go through life. Get that? You're not born knowing everything and forgetting for the rest of your life. It's the other way around. You're born, you don't know anything. And you learn as you go through life. Now, in our bulletin, I put in a devotional from the Institute of Creation Research about God the Father and Christ being the Son. Sometimes people say, well, how could Jesus be the Son of God? How could he have eternal life and still be the Son of God? What's the relationship? Well, it's not a relationship of time with the Father and the Son. They are equal in nature, but it's in position. The Son is subordinate to the Father. Now, humans, fathers and sons, are of the same nature. There's just a difference in position. And the children are to be subordinate to the fathers. And the fathers, having much more life experience, are going to know things that the children just don't know. Have you ever known anything that you didn't know? How do you answer that question? That's a trick question. You know, it's often hard to know that you don't know something, because if you don't know, you don't know. Got it? And so, you may not realize that there are things you don't know. You may not realize there are things you don't understand. And someone else may know and understand what you don't. Children, your fathers know and understand things you don't. And even though you don't understand that they understand and they know, they do. Am I making sense here? Now here, this father speaking to his children says, listen to the instruction of a father. Listen to the instruction. Attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. See, I'm telling you some good stuff here. Good truth. And you need to hear it, you need to listen and understand. There are some really bad fathers in our world, but you know, most fathers, honestly, want their kids to turn out good. Most fathers have their children's best interest at heart. Most fathers are seriously, when they're trying to teach their children, not trying to make their children go bad. They're trying to make them go good. They're trying to impart understanding. So listen to the instruction of a father. I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Verse 3, for I was my father's son, and tender, and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. I've got news for you. Every father used to be a son. And they were taught by their fathers. You see? So, children, again, young people, when your father is trying to give you instruction, realize he's being where you are. He's being a child. He's had to listen. He's been taught. He's also learned a lot of lessons by mistake. Now, here is what this father is especially trying to get across to his children, and this is something for all of us. Verse 5. Here's the instruction. Get wisdom and get understanding. Now, there's two sides to this. This is the instruction to children and also to fathers. This is what you need to really focus on. What do you want for your kids? Do you want your kids just to get rich? Do you want your kids to just get famous? Well, here's something better. Most important thing, above all else, here's what you need to impart to your children. You need them to get wisdom and understanding. To understand about life. What is life? Why am I here on planet Earth? Why do I breathe? What value is my life? What's my purpose? What's my meaning? What's going to happen to me? When I'm finished with my life, what was it for? I don't understand. Well, you need to get that understanding. Here's a question I'll put to anyone. How do you understand your meaning and purpose of life? How do you get such an understanding? Where are you going to find it? Well, I guess I'll just live, and maybe by the time I'm finished living my life, I'll have figured it out. Yeah. You know, you can try all sorts of ways to find the meaning and purpose of life, to understand what life is all about. You may think, well, I'm just going to decide for myself the meaning and purpose of my life. Well, here's a lesson in just reasoning and thinking and logic. You cannot invent your own purpose. That's like someone saying, what's the purpose of a crescent wrench? I don't know, ask him. What's your purpose? And he says, I think my purpose is to be a steak for tomatoes in the garden. Well, the creator of that wrench decides its purpose. See? You don't invent your own. You cannot get understanding of the meaning and purpose of life on your own. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Understanding that you have a creator, that's the beginning of wisdom. Understanding that your life is all about your relationship to Him. He created you for a purpose, for reason. He gives your life meaning and value. That's where wisdom starts. And we need to get that across to our children. If you do not base your life upon God, you're going to waste your life. Because you're going to be going nowhere. You don't know why you're here. You don't know what you're doing. You're just, you know, playing it as you go. Whatever happens to pop into your head. That's not wisdom and understanding. Get wisdom and get understanding. Now, I was talking about raising kids the other day. I found that it's much easier when they're little. Because basically you can tell kids things, little ones things, and they just kind of believe you. You know? But when they turn teenagers, suddenly they want to argue and question everything. Anybody else notice that? I mean, I was going along happily through life, three kids, and then they turned teenagers. Now, what in the world happened? Whose kids are these? Where'd they come from? You know, they wanted to question everything I said and taught them, and they wanted to argue. But you know what? They need answers. It's actually good that they question. Because they need answers. You know what? Your kids need understanding. And you should actually encourage your kids to question. Encourage them to understand. It's not just because I said so. You're not God. Now, when they're little, you have to, you know, do that at times because they're not going to understand. But as you raise your children and teach them, you always need to have this in mind and heart that you want to get across to them that they need understanding. You raise your kids when they're grown, this is what you want. You want them to have wisdom and understanding about life. Why can you not do this? Why shouldn't you do that? Why should you do this? Why? If they don't understand why, then you failed. Get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't forget wisdom and understanding. Don't forget to build your life on it. As you make your choices in life, why did you choose to do that? Why did you choose a career? Why did you choose the mate that you chose? Why did you choose where you're going to live? Were there sound reasons? Life is not just a big accident. There's meaning and purpose, and there needs to be wisdom and understanding as you go through it. Don't forsake it. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom will make a difference in your life. If you live by wisdom, if you live by understanding, you understand right and wrong, you understand wise choices and foolish choices, it will preserve your life. It'll be good for you. Love her, she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. You know what that means then? Number one. This is number one in life. This is the number one duty of fathers. Get wisdom into your kids. Number one duty in children. To acquire wisdom. And understanding. See? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. If you don't understand something, ask questions. If you don't understand something, Think about it. Seek answers. Don't just neglect it. Get understanding. I'll be personal here. I'm one of those individuals that's a bit driven in this area. I've always had this unusual drive to understand things. You know, I was the 6-year-old kid taking everything apart, you know, driving my parents nuts. Well, I wanted to know and understand how it worked, you know. Arguing with my Sunday school teacher because I wanted to understand and something that he said didn't make sense. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it gets you in a bit of trouble. But actually, in the long run, it pays off to get understanding. Verse 8, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. See, you will advance in life if you get wisdom. If you make wisdom top of the list, wisdom and understanding, it will bring honor in your life. The flip side of that is, if you just say, oh, who needs it? I don't need wisdom. I don't need understanding. Later in life, you'll be wondering why things didn't work out the way that you had hoped they would or planned that they would. You know what? There's many a life that starts out with great hopes and dreams of great things that just ends up a total wreck. I don't suppose that there's a single person down on the streets in Vancouver, a drug addict or what, any of those, the prostitutes or whatever, that when they were kids planned to end up that way. Do you? Was that their dream? To be a derelict on the streets in the city? To be pushing around a buggy and, you know, sleeping on the sidewalk and being filthy and begging for money? Do you think that was their dream? No, but they made a series of choices that went wrong. They made some foolish decisions and look where it led them. On the other hand, if you get wisdom and you follow wisdom, it will lead you to honor, not dishonor. It will lead you to well-being, not disaster. She shall promote thee and bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. And here's something else. Foolish choices in life will cause many to die young. There's many ways you can get into drugs and die from those things. You can get into a lifestyle that leads to diseases and die from those things. You can take stupid risks and die from those things. On the other hand, being wise, not doing certain things and doing the right things, will see that your life is extended. That just makes common sense. You know, you get in the habit of jumping off bridges, one day you're going to break your neck. See, it's dumb, foolish, not wise. People do that, don't understand certain principles, see. Wisdom will give you a long life. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Now, here's the way it also works. I'll take a side note. Do you know what the word straightened here means? It doesn't mean straight like we think of it in a line, but it means restricted. Okay? Now, has a child ever thought that their parents were too restrictive? Anybody here think maybe your parents are too strict? Yeah? You think my parents are just restricting my ways too much? They think that if I do this or do that, that I'm going to get in trouble. They just don't know what they're talking about. Well, actually, it's the other way around. Wisdom will cause you to understand that there's things to avoid. And in the long run, it is not a way of too much restraint. It says, thy steps shall not be straightened or restricted. It gives you the most freedom in the long run. The freedom to enjoy life, to avoid disaster. The fathers are, again, by setting boundaries and limits and rules and restrictions, are doing it to give you the most freedom in the long run. Not to ruin your life. I thank God for the restrictions and restraints of my father. It gave me much freedom in life. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Learn to really appreciate this process of learning. Take hold of instruction. Value instruction. Value understanding. You need to understand as much as you can. Now, you'll never, in this life, understand everything, but value it. Life's not a party or a game where you just go through being stupid. Life is more serious than that. Value instruction. When you grow up, you could flip over to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. The father will look at his children. Some kids are wise and some are fools. Some are smart and some are stupid. Well, Proverbs 10:1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You grow up, and this applies, by the way, to sons and daughters. You grow up to be wise, and it'll make your father proud. You know, today on Father's Day, it's nice to get gifts from our kids or a phone call or whatever, or a card. But you know what? Those things are minute and minor compared to how much it means to me if my kids are just wise. If I know today that my children are wise, that gives me a greater joy than anything else. My kids are making wise choices, wise decisions. They got wisdom and understanding. Then I can say, I've succeeded. But today, if I, in my heart, have a feeling that my children are foolish, making foolish choices and decisions. No, all of the phone calls and the cards and the gifts are meaningless. Get wisdom. Now, verse 14. Word of warning. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Now, here's instruction of a father to kids. Here's the facts of life. There are bad people out there. Not everybody around you is living life properly. Not everybody around you is wise. Not all of the kids that you go to school with are filled with wisdom. There are people around you that are fools and that are making wrong choices. Now, here's a word of warning. Don't go down that path. Don't follow just anybody and everybody around you. Don't enter those paths of the wicked. Now, here's the way foolishness works. If it feels good at the moment, go for it. And someone will come along and say, hey, you know what? If you swallow this pill, you're going to feel good. Or if you smoke this, man, you're going to feel good. Or if you drink this, you're going to feel great. Or if you shoot this in your veins, you're going to really feel good. And sure enough, you do. For the moment. But what's it going to lead to a year from now? Well, who cares? That's folly. That's stupid. See? That's the way of the wicked. Now, don't go down those paths. Don't make choices. Don't do something just because it's going to feel good at the moment, because where is it going to take you in the future? Well, they're not going to, try to tell you about the future. Like on television, when they're advertising some of these things. When they advertise, say, whiskey or whatever, they don't show you the drunk, do they? They don't show you how stupid you look when you're drunk. They don't show you that you're going to do things that you wish you hadn't done when you're under the influence. They're not going to show you that. They glamorize it. But question. See? When they try to sell you an illicit drug, tell you how great it's going to feel, they're not going to tell you that you're going to get addicted, that you're not going to be able to afford it, that you're going to end up having to steal to support the habit, and that you're going to be a criminal, and that you're going to lose your job, and that you're going to lose your health, and you're going to end up a bum on the street. They're not going to tell you that. But here's a word of wisdom. Just don't ever start down those paths. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Don't even take the first step down those paths. It says avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Say, well, they won't leave me alone. They keep telling me, you got to try it. Verse 16, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. You know what? They're driven to bring others into it with them. People that are fools going down these foolish paths are not content just going down it themselves. They want you to go with them. Especially young people. Listen, kids. Other kids trying stuff, they're not content just doing it themselves. They want you to go with them. And they'll bug you, and they'll pester you, and they'll call you names, and they'll do things to pressure you. Come on with us. Come on, let's do it. What are you, chicken? What are you, some, crazy religious fanatic? They want you to go with them. They're not going to rest. But don't do it. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. See, again, it's a way of harm and destruction. The whole point about wickedness is just about harm. You know why there's so much misery in the world? Because people are harming each other. There's a way of violence. When you live for self, listen, just think with me. Everybody, think with me. If I am always living for myself above anybody else, how's that going to affect the other people? If I'm always ahead of them, that means they're behind. If I'm trampling on them, that means they're getting trampled on. If I'm pushing myself over them, that means I'm hurting them. Now, if everybody lives like that, everybody gets hurt. Does that not make sense? How can we have a really life, or easy life, or a life of peace if we stop trampling on others? The way of violence, it just escalates and it just destroys. The way of love and consideration, loving your neighbor as yourself, is the only solution. The way of violence is the way of destruction. It's wickedness. The way of selfishness is a way of destruction. But, verse 18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. A good father wants his children to go on this right path, the right way in life. The way of light. So, well, what's the significance of light? Have you ever tried walking down a path in the forest in pitch dark? In fact, you ever tried walking down any path in pitch dark? You're asking for trouble. You're going to trip over something that you don't see. And then you're going to get hurt. But the way of righteousness, It's a shining light on the path. It's a way where you can see the obstacles in the way and avoid them. Avoid the harm and destruction. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They wake up the next morning, how did I get so sore? How did I get so sick? How did I get so miserable? How did my life go so wrong? Well, they stumbled on something they didn't know would get them. You see? It's a way of darkness. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Again, this is our plea as fathers. Listen to what I'm saying. Now, I'm going to take a side note here. Perhaps you say, well, you're not my father, so I don't have to listen to this. Well, God is our father. Maybe you don't have a father. Maybe your father's deceased. You know, God is our Father. He's the perfect Father. The one that every father should pattern his life after. Now, God is a father to the fatherless. And God is your Father. You need to listen to Him and this instruction. Today, I stand in His place just speaking His words. I'm not God and I'm not your Father, but I speak on His behalf. Heed His word. What I'm saying to you today, listen to it as you would listen to a good father, someone who really cares for your well-being. Attend to my words. Listen to this. Incline your heart to it. Don't be hard against it. Say, I don't want to listen to this. You know, I wonder what's for supper. I wonder what I'm going to do this afternoon. I think I'm going to go play ball. Maybe I'll go down to the beach. What are you thinking? Don't do that. Listen. Incline your heart to it. You need to embrace this. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Take this into your heart and keep it. For they are life unto thee, or unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Not trying to hurt you. Not trying to make your life miserable. I'm trying to help you. Words of wisdom are not for your destruction, but for your benefit. So embrace them. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Now he's going to go through several parts to your person and your body. Most of all, as you go through life, keep your heart. If you let your heart go bad, it'll ruin you. Your life will be messed up, it'll be destroyed. So above all else, keep your heart with all diligence. You let your heart start going after things it shouldn't go after. You start just really desiring the stuff, the way of the wicked. And it'll destroy you. So keep your heart with all diligence. Don't let it get distracted. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips far from thee. Here's wise instruction. Watch your mouth as for the rest of your life. Learn this lesson. And as a father, this was something I again wanted to impart to my children. Learn to be careful with your mouth. Watch what you say. Learn to bite your tongue. Learn to keep your mouth shut. Study to be quiet. Keep your mouth. We live in a day when, again, in society now, their mouths are just, you know, say anything. When I was young, it used to be that, the men would say off-color words and jokes in private, and if a lady was present, they'd keep their mouth shut. Now, it's the women telling filthy, dirty jokes using filthy, nasty language. Teenagers, girls, kids. People that don't watch what they say, they'll say anything. They think that they're free to say absolutely any filth that they can think of. They curse, they swear, it's a way of destruction. Watch your tongue. Watch your language. Watch your words. Think before you speak. Put away from you a froward mouth. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. What's he getting at here? As you go through life, keep your eyes on the path. Where are you headed? Now, most of you know that I'm turning 53 tomorrow. Okay? 53 years I've been going down the path of life. Where am I headed? I know, almost certainly, I'm not going to live another 53 years. What's going to happen to me after a while? Anybody guess? I'm going to die. I'm getting older. I'm going to die. Then what? You know what? If I forget where I'm headed, get off track, I could really go sour. I could start making stupid decisions and being a fool. Now, God gives my life meaning and purpose. My great joy and hope for the future is not in medical cures, but in the eternal life that God gives me in Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus Christ is my goal. Another lesson I've learned in 53 years. I'm not perfect the way I started out as a human being. I have a corrupt heart and a corrupt mind. My heart will lead me to things I shouldn't do. My mind will think things it shouldn't think. I need a new one. I need the perfect heart of Christ. And the goal in my life is to be like Him. To have His heart, to have His mind, to be completely filled with love for God and love for my neighbor. To be freed from all selfishness. To be freed from all harm, from doing anything wrong to anybody. That's my goal. The path of my life as I go through life, I need to keep that goal before me. To be like Him. And if I let my eyes get off the goal and off the track, you know, again, then my life can suddenly just go sour. Let thine eyes look right on the goal, see? For the rest of your life. My kids, Bruce and Cindy, are moving up to Edmonton. Now, they say God told them to do that. You know, I'm not God, so I just... Where's that leading them? Well, you know what? I don't have a problem with it if God told them to do that. Because I want them to keep their eyes on the goal. And to stay on track wherever they go in this world, to stay on the right path with Christ at the head of the path. And as long as they're going down that path, I'll rejoice. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, but remove thy foot from evil. So our final thought, conclusion. Ponder the path of your feet. Now, it's not just your physical feet, but ponder the path of what you're doing. The choices you're making, even right now. Why are you doing what you're doing? Ponder it. Again, what are you thinking at this very moment? What are you saying? What are you physically doing at this moment? Why? Why? I don't want to think about that. Well, that's foolish. Everything you do matters. It's important. So ponder the choices you are making. Why? And don't get off track. Get on track. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. And keep your foot from evil. Now, the word evil means harm. It's not just perpetrating harm, but receiving harm. You know what? It's when you stay on the right path that you avoid evil coming to you. See? You step off the path, you step into trouble. See? So stay on the path and remove thy foot from evil. You avoid the traps and the snares and the stumbling blocks and the trouble. This is the words of a father that cares for his children. First from God our Heavenly Father, and it's repeated from real dads who have a good heart to their children. Let's stand in prayer. O God, our Father in heaven, we use that term not as a matter of ritual or tradition, but I speak to you personally as a very real live person with a real relationship, because you are my Father. You are my Father through Jesus Christ, your Son. Again, by your grace. And again, I speak to you as our Father, because you are very concerned about us. You love us. You're only desiring our well-being. We thank you for Jesus, who paid for our sin, and for the free gift of forgiveness, salvation from sin and death, and eternal life. The free gift of a new heart and a new mind, a new nature in Him. We can't thank you enough. As we ponder the significance that you're our Father, we say with John, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." We don't deserve it. We're amazed. But it again brings great glory to you and your greatness. You're great and you're wonderful. I thank you for our earthly fathers. I thank you for my Father today. God bless him. Right now, strengthen him. May his last days on earth be blessed. May his days be extended. I pray that you'll bless each father here. And I pray that our children will heed these words of wisdom. God, give us wise children. And give us the strength and the wisdom and the patience to teach them and instruct them in the ways of wisdom. These children, their lives are precious. Great treasures that you've entrusted us with. Help us to be good fathers. I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their Father, that they will ponder these things, that they will seek answers, that they will receive Jesus Christ as their Savior as a free gift. They too can know you. We thank you now and give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.